Pleased to be joined by Brent Hubbs of BallQuest.com. His appearance brought to you by Diversified Enclosures and Screens. From design to installation, they've got you covered. Brent, how are you?
I'm doing great, Jimmy. How you doing, man?
We're doing fine. Thanks for joining us. It's been a wild, wild week. Your reaction to the news that came out of the Big Ten, Pac-12, and then the Big 12 deciding that it's going to go forward.
Well, I was a little surprised that the Big Ten decided to go ahead and cancel and not delay or push it back a little bit. There was a real feeling among some coaches and ADs in that league that they were going to push it back and see if they could sort of see where it was in another couple of weeks. But the university presidents were not going to let that happen. So, you know, that started a domino, and then the question became, you know, who was going to follow? And I think the Big 12 was a very big key in this thing still holding out hope of playing right now, because I think if the Big 12 had said no, then I'm not sure if the ACC and the SEC would be standing as strong as they are right now. So we'll see where we're at in a couple of weeks. I think it's important for fans to note none of those three leagues that are playing or planning on playing in September have guaranteed anything at this point. And I think it's, you know, they're trying to play. Nobody said we're absolutely playing. So we'll see what it looks like in a few weeks, what the medical people say. I think the biggest positive to come out of this to this point, Jimmy, the SEC, the ACC, and the Big 12 are talking. And I think that's the first time any of the Power Five have really spoken to each other throughout all this, because they were completely all on separate pages 3 weeks ago. And so I think that is a positive moving forward for college sports if they can figure out a way to work together.
You know, what's weird about that, Brent, is that we heard the commissioner of the SEC say that the conference commissioners were in contact with each other. Maybe it was for 5 seconds. I don't know. Well, maybe, but they certainly didn't seem to be on the same page, did they?
No, if they were in contact with each other, I'm not sure everybody was wearing their iPods or their AirPods to hear what the other one was saying. Because if you're in some kind of alignment conversation with each other, how's one conference going to play another a different amount of games than the other? How's one conference going to start, you know, a month before the other one's scheduled to start? And then obviously this week, how do you have two canceled and three others stay in line to play? So they may have been talking, but I'm not sure they were listening, and they certainly weren't agreeing on much. At least it doesn't appear that way.
Yeah, I would agree.
So, Brent, I think we're kind of back in the same little group of two, group of three among the Power Five that we were when the whole conference-only scheduling thing started, right? Because the Big Ten started and the Pac-12 followed, and then you wondered if the other three were going to work together, and they didn't.
Yeah, and I think, look, you're not going to – the Pac-12 and the Big Ten are always going to have an alliance to each other, okay? Mm-hmm. They're always going to be tied to each other because of the Rose Bowl and what one does, the other's going to likely do, particularly if the Big Ten makes a decision, the Pac-12 is going to follow it. The other three are a little bit wild horse riders, you know, and, you know, thankfully they're working together right now. But, yeah, you're right. I mean, it does feel like it's kind of back to where it was in the initial deal. And I think all of us feel like anything the Big Ten does, the Pac-12 will follow, but not necessarily the other three. And again, we'll see. I mean, there's a lot of hoops, a lot of things to go through before we ever get to kickoff or before we ever get to play. One of the things that's not been talked about is kind of, and I mentioned this on our message board today, what's the threshold for the big three that are trying to play? You know, I mean, is it outbreak? You know, if you've got a massive outbreak, are you going to shut down? Is it hospitalization of a kid? You know, I mean, what's the threshold to where you say, no, we can't play? I don't know. Nobody knows what that is right now. Is it more medical research? We don't have any idea. And I don't know if we'll know anytime soon, but I think that's the one question that we don't know, which makes it hard to say, boy, I feel good about them playing or I don't feel good about them playing. Because I don't know what their line in the sand, so to speak, is to say, if we get to here, we can't play. If we stay below here, we can play. I don't know what that is. I don't think anybody out there does.
So, Brent, in your opinion, not knowing where the line in the sand is amongst all the medical decisions that they have to make, do you think that it does come down to that, or do you think for those other two conferences there were other factors, whether it was amateurism with the protests or in standing together or litigation or other things. What do you think ultimately is the decision maker for these conferences?
Well, I think the Pac-12 has come out and kind of indicated, some of their medical people have indicated, medical, you know, the medical stuff is what gave them great pause because of some of the research that's been talked about out there, and I don't know that it's finalized at all with the effects of the virus on the heart or no effects of virus on the heart. You know, I think that's still muddled waters in terms of how concrete the evidence to support or to not support that is. But I think, Vince, I think we're all kidding ourselves. If litigation wasn't a factor in there, if some of the Pac-12's players talking about what they need and their wants and their protest against things in terms of amateurism, I mean, I think all of those things probably factored into that a little bit. You know, we sit here and we talk about the conference commissioners not really communicating with each other, or at least not valuing the other's opinion, it seems like, very much. I think it's interesting that the Pac-12 and the Big Ten are talking medical stuff, but the other three conferences' doctors seem to be okay with the medical stuff right now. So did they not talk? I mean, you know, I know cardiologists and I know medical people have differing opinions, but what kind of conversations did the Big Five have medically, I wonder about? I do think now the three that are trying to play are having conversations on the medical front. I'm not sure that they did with the big, with all five of them, you know, a week or two ago when all this stuff started coming to a head.
Our guest, Brent Hubbs, VolQuest.com. Let's go to the phones where Jeremy is our next caller. Jeremy on with Brent Hubbs.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good.
Hey, Brent. I just wanted to talk about the 21 class. And for, I know Tennessee's pulled some pretty good talent from the state of Georgia, but if they were, of course, they got Nixon and Brown, but if they were to get Nylon Green and Mims and Smile Munden, would that be like the best they've done? I know it's kind of a long shot to get all three of those, but if they were to at least get two of the three, if not all of them, would that be probably the best class that they've hauled out of the state of Georgia?
Well, yeah, I mean, I think it's in the conversation. Yeah, I mean, you're sitting there talking. The only one that would rival it, in my opinion, would be Cozy Coleman, Jamal Lewis, and Deion Grant, who are three NFL players. Now, I think time would tell whether Smile Munden, you know, and Mims and those guys, you think that they have a chance. But those three that Rodney Garner signed in 1997 were all, you know, were three. I guess they all won a Super Bowl when it was said and done, Jimmy. I'm not sure if Cozy got one with the Buffs. I guess he wasn't there when Tampa won that one. I'm not sure. But, you know, those guys either played in the Super Bowl, won a Super Bowl, all pro, you know. That's three really good NFL players, and I'm not sure that you would get, you know, it's too early to say you would get three out of that. On paper, it would certainly rival those three when you talk about Nylon Green, Smile Munden, and Mims. I mean, Mims is a five-star. You've got Nylon Green's on the cusp of being a five-star. You know, you've got Smile Munden is a high four-star as well. So it would be on the cusp of that. I mean, the ironic thing about that is, you know, Jamal Lewis is a guy who rushed for 2,000 yards in the NFL, but a lot of us thought he was going to be a fullback in college, and he wasn't the best running back in the state of Georgia that year. So I guess I was wrong on that one.
Jasper Sanks.
All right. That's right, Jimmy. Jasper Sanks from Columbus, Georgia.
Yeah. Go ahead, Jeremy.
And then my final question is, do you think, I don't know, I don't want to say not having the season, but do you think maybe not having the season and the visits being canceled so other kids can't go on campus would actually benefit Tennessee's recruiting in a way? And I'll hang up and listen. I appreciate you guys at Fall Class. Love to listen to you all. Thank you.
Thanks, Jeremy.
Thank you. Thanks, Jeremy. We appreciate the phone call. You know, it probably does in some ways help because those guys aren't going to take visits all around the country. I do think you'll see some kids, Jimmy, start to take these virtual visits. Or what some schools are doing is they're telling kids to come to campus and they go see different places in campus and they're FaceTiming them. Okay, so, you know, if you got a running back in town and you're telling him, hey, go over to the stadium, it's unlocked, and go walk on the field and I'll, you know, FaceTime me from the 10-yard line. And then they talk about how electric the atmosphere is while the coach is in his office a quarter of a mile away or less, you know. that way. I do think you'll see some kids who are wanting to see campuses before they make a decision. I think you'll see some of that happen this fall. Not a ton, but I think you will see some of that. We talked to Kennedy Chandler yesterday. Kennedy Chandler said North Carolina told him they expect the dead period to run through October. They think it'll be dead in basketball world when it's basketball signing day, that there will not be any official visits allowed between now and basketball's November signing day. That's what basketball thinks is going to happen. It's hard for me to imagine, Jimmy, they're going to lift the dead period. They've already extended it through September. I have a hard time seeing them lift that in October or November with where everything's at right now. Because the thing is, I mean, if you're going to play football, you're trying to keep your program in the best bubble you can keep it in. Are you really going to let, you know, 20, 30 kids and their parents come in and be around your program for a weekend when, you know, you haven't known all that and you're not going to test them? If you do, even if you did test them, you wouldn't get the results of it before they left. I mean, I just don't think official visits are going to be realistic this fall.
That's Brent Hubbs of VolQuest.com. His appearance brought to you by Diversified Enclosures and Screens. From design to installation, they got you covered. You can view their portfolio on sunandscreen.com. When we come back, we'll have more. If you want to join us, 656-9900, 1-866-656-9900. We come to you from the Food City at Fountain City, and you still have a little bit of time to come by and try to register for the big ticket. We're going to shut that down at 545. You can text the key number to 68683, but you got to come here to find out what that word is. And then we're going to give away the big ticket in the 6 hour, which is Tennessee football men's and women's basketball season tickets, also for softball and baseball, the Titan season tickets and season tickets for the Ice Bears as well. All of that, so you still have time again to come by to qualify at the Food City in Fountain City. And we're brought to you also by Body Armor. This is Sports Talk 99.1, the Sports Animal.
The station where winners listen and listeners win. 99.1, the Sports Animal.
Welcome back to Sports Talk. I'm Jimmy Himes with Vince Farrar. Our special guest, Brent Hubbs of VolQuest.com. His appearance brought to you by Diversified Enclosures and Screens. We come to you from the Food City and Fountain City, and we've only got 20 or so minutes for you to come by and try to register to qualify for the big ticket that's still available for you. And we're at 4805 North Broadway. That's the Food City where we are, brought to you by Body Armor Products, Body Armor Sports Drinks, and also know that at Food City they got a great deal. They got fresh ground chuck, $1.99 per pound for 3 pounds or more now through Saturday. So come by and check it out. Let's go to the phones where our next caller is Alan. Alan, you're on with Brent Hubbs.
Hey, guys. Hey, Brent.
Hey, Alan.
Hey, Alan. Thinking a little bit about money, right? You know, there's going to be some tough times in college sports. But you got me thinking about recruiting. You know, and you can correct me, but I'll just use a number to get the conversation started. I'm thinking in my head the UT recruiting budget's at least, I think, $1 million a year. Maybe I'm off by a factor of two. Who knows? But probably with all this dead period and you can't fly people in and you can't fly out, they're not going to spend as much as, you know, I'm sure they won't spend as much as they normally do. I wonder if they'll take some lessons from what's happening now and maybe make recruiting different next year, not because it was better, but because it was cheaper, because there's still going to be financial problems next year. What are your thoughts?
Well, you're right on your number. The budget's over $1 million in recruiting. When you talk about visits and travel for coaches for evaluations and travel for kids for visits and those types of things. So there is a savings there. They save in the spring. They're saving in the fall as well. But I don't foresee the landscape changing in terms of money being spent in recruiting. I think they might cut it some other place, but they're not going to stop whining and dining kids, and they're not going to stop going to every small, large town at any point in the world anymore to find prospects. So I don't think it will change their spending. I do think that you'll see, you know, more kids, more coaches use Zoom calls instead of phone calls when they have conversations, because I think people like to see each other when they talk. So I think kids have gotten used to Zoom. More importantly, coaches have gotten used to it. So I think you'll see that technology in use and continue in use even after coaches are allowed to go back on the road. But I don't think travel budgets are going to get cut because I don't think the boys are going to stop going after the kids and doing everything they can to get them and travel to see them as much as they need to travel.
Sorry, a car just about hit somebody. I certainly didn't think UT would like voluntarily or tighten their belt or whatever. I was more thinking NCAA wide to say, hey, look, as a sport, as a unit, we're all hurting, and we're all hurting. You know, the lesser sports, the Olympic sports. Let's make some new rules for a year or two about recruiting, to, you know, save money and be able to get back on our feet and build up a savings account and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I don't see that being the area. I don't. Now, maybe in some other sports, you might have some athletic directors tell some golf coaches you can't go to Sweden or Austria to recruit. You know, you might have some limitations that way. But I just don't think you're going to see, Jimmy, the NCAA come down and try to mandate, hey, we're only going to let you know, kids are only going to get 4 visits, or we're going to cut the number of official visits you can have from 56 to 45 to save money, or we're going to cut eval days, or we're going to cut number of times coaches can go in the home and that type of thing. I don't see that being approved by anybody. I think there would be a lot of fighting on that. I don't see the NCAA getting in that world and playing. I may be wrong, but I would be surprised if they did.
No, I'd agree with you on that, yeah. Alan, we appreciate it. Thank you very much. Let's go
now,
to Steve. Go ahead.
Let me say this before we go to Steve, Jimmy. I do think an area you can save some money, and there are probably some people that don't want to hear this, is you can save some money in your scheduling and some of the time that you make. Okay? So maybe you don't have as many people going to play in the Maui Classic, or maybe some non-revenue sports may not be going to the West Coast for a 10-day swing of games,
yeah,
you know, or something like that. I think you could see that change to try to save money, because everybody is having to tighten the belt a little bit. I just think in the world of college athletics, the last place you cut money is recruiting.
Let's go to Steve. Steve, you're on with Brent Hubbs.
Hey, fellas.
Hey.
Hey. Brent, would we take as many as 2 more linebackers in this class if we could get some real good ones? And is there a defensive back maybe in Florida, last name of Johnson? And of course, in the past, the Arnold kid, defensive back, was talked about. Talk about those guys.
Well, I think in Florida, Arnold is the priority in that state from a defensive back standpoint. I think if Arnold's not a factor, Tennessee can't land that, then I think, you know, you'll see them up in Georgia. Nyland Green has got a spot whenever he wants to come. I mean, I think he's a priority more so than even Arnold is, because I think Tennessee really likes him a lot. There's a couple other kids in Georgia that are athletes that Tennessee's evaluating and like. They're a little bit probably down the board, so to speak. But I think that's where they would go in terms of other defensive backs besides the 2 big names we mentioned, Green and Arnold. In terms of linebackers, if the guy can rush the quarterback, then, yeah, I mean, I think that they would be open to that. I don't think they'll take 2 more inside linebackers in this class.
Okay. Well, okay. Well, Brent, I remember months ago you said you was praying every day for a football season. And hopefully things will work out just for your sake. So,
well, not just me. I think a lot of people are hoping and praying for that.
Yeah.
At the college level, the NFL level, and the high school level. So, you know, you just take it day by day, and, you know, it's going to be what it's going to be. And you just, you know, adjust to it the best you can. But I just, seniors in high school right now, I just, I hope those guys get a season. You know, I feel for the kids in North Carolina. We spent, Vince, probably 4 days in North Carolina back in June. And those kids were so hopeful of getting to play. They were getting ready to go in their senior year. And now they're not going to get to play unless, you know, they play in the spring. And they're only getting a 7-game season at most in the spring. And, you know, I hate it for those guys. I mean, I do. I really hate it for the seniors in the high school ranks who are, A, still trying to show off to colleges for recruiting. But just the fact that you don't get to play your senior year. Those kids in the spring went through it. I know some of those kids, it was miserable for them. And just an awful experience. And I certainly hope that doesn't happen this fall for soccer players, volleyball players, high school football players. So my prayers continue that, you know, the virus gets better and that we can find a way to safely let the kids play at all levels in athletics. But we'll see.
That's Brent Hubbs of VolQuest.com. His appearance brought to you by Diversified Enclosures and Screens. From design to installation, they got you covered. Check them out online, sunandscreen.com. When we come back, we will have more. We come to you from the Food City and Fountain City. That's 4805 North Broadway. You only got about 10 more minutes to come by and try to get registered for the big ticket. We'll have that drawing in the 6 o'clock hour. With Vince Farrar, I'm Jimmy Heim. Sports Talk 99.1, the sports animal.
Hey, this is Vol for Life, Troy Fleming. We're counting it down. It's just
44 days until
it's football time in Tennessee.
This Sports Radio WNML countdown to kickoff is brought to you by Knoxville TVA Employees Credit Union. Find out more at tvacreditunion.com.
Go on!
Welcome back to Sports Talk. We're at Food City and Fountain City, and they always have great deals here at Food City. Check out their Angus beef steaks, their seafood. That's a lot you can put on the grill. They've got some online shopping, and also they've got a tremendous bakery, so you want to check that out as well. This is a big ticket remote, so our thanks to Body Armor Sports Drink is one of our sponsors there. Our guest, Brent Hubbs, VolQuest.com. His appearance brought to you by Diversified Enclosures and Screens. Let's go to the phones where Brent is our next caller. Brent, you're on with Brent.
Hey, Brent. What's going on? Hey, guys. I hope you're all doing well.
Yes, sir.
I know there'll probably be a small season this year, and everybody know. I just want to know your opinion and your thoughts about maybe how they're going to do the playoff system, or how they're going to do the rankings. Because the way I look at it, you cannot do it by the schedule, the strength of schedule, or team, because you can't figure out which team or which conference they play is the toughest, like they did in the BCS or like they did last year. And I just kind of fear it's the only way I could figure out, you take each champion of each conference, then you put them into a little playoff. And that's how I always felt the playoffs should be anyways, with a Division I conference, by taking everybody from their conference and put them in the playoff. But, I mean, it works the way it does now. But I just want to know your opinion, and when do you think we might hear how they're going to do this, or if you think they'll try to figure out who might back out next, or if it will be close to August, or we will be hear about it during the season. I'll listen to your answer. I hope you'll stay healthy and have a good day. Bye.
Okay, thank you. Brent Hubbs?
Jimmy, I think the easiest thing, if you're going to have a playoff in December or January, is take the top two teams. The two teams that play in the championship games of the big three are in the playoff. Because I'm not sure how you get an at-large to a group of five conference team who doesn't have a quote, quality win against the Power Five group. Maybe you do. Maybe there's a Central Florida that's unbeaten, and you say, wow, you know, they deserve to be in. But I think right now, if you replace the odds, wouldn't you think it would be the top two teams from the SEC, the Big 12, and the ACC make the playoff?
I think they're going to try to go to four because there's so much money involved. And so I think they'll have your semifinals, and it could very well be two teams from the SEC and one from the ACC and one from the Big 12. I think there's a pretty good chance that would happen.
Yeah, that makes sense. Because you got the four teams. Yeah, You don't have 16. I've already got it to a 16 playoff. Then I'm moving on. Hey, let's advance it this year. Let's go to a 16. That tells you where my mind's at for over what the last few days have been like. Yeah, that's, you know, you're going to get your, so you're going to get your three champions from there, and then you got one at large. It's hard to see that go to anybody other than a group of five teams somewhere. Now, you know, could that be Clemson and Notre Dame? Could that be two teams from the SEC? We know the commissioner tried to set it up to have two teams from the SEC. By the way, he added two games to what two teams? So he was certainly working hard at getting him two playoff teams in there. There's no doubt about that.
And, guys, if I could just chime in on that real quick, the director of the committee chair of the College Football Playoff had some quotes inside a release from the College Football Playoff today, and he said the committee's task is to rank the teams based on what happens on the field. This week gives us a chance to catch up with familiar faces and welcome our new members. And then whatever, we don't know right now what the season will bring, but they will be ready as a committee. They didn't talk about format, but I'm with you, Jimmy. And to you, the caller is wondering, well, how can you tell? Well, their stance has always been whatever games are in front of us to judge, we're going to judge based on the teams that we see. And rather than this conference is better than this conference and all that. So I think they'll do three conference champions and then the best team of the rest that they deem in that committee to be so.
That's what I think they'll do. We'll see. Brent, I did want to ask you about this. So Tennessee men's basketball has offered a 7-foot prospect from Catholic High School, Ahanje Tamba. What can you tell us about him?
Well, a young man who transferred in, you know, and has done well. He's with the Bobby Mays Elite AAU club. Has played with them for a while. And 7 feet, 7 feet. I don't care how you slice it. 7 feet, 7 feet. So, you know, I think he's a young man who's got a lot of upside. Not a polished player by any means, but a guy who I think everybody sees with a good bit of upside and athletic ability for a guy that tall. You know, Tennessee doesn't just offer guys to randomly offer guys. They've obviously evaluated him quite a bit and feel comfortable with the decision to offer him based on, you know, what they've seen out of him and everything else. So, again, I think he's, I don't want to say a project, but that labels him as something that's unfair. He's just by no means a finished product at this point and has continued to grow in the game. He's really improved, I think, a good bit over the last year or so.
And Tennessee announcing no tailgating this season. Brent, I'm not surprised at all by that. I thought there were semi-hints coming from Philip Fulmer when we visited with him a while back. I'm not surprised at that. Your thoughts?
No, I'm not surprised at that. The only thought that I gave to it, the only consideration I gave to maybe trying to produce some kind of tailgating ability is there's a couple of musicians out there. Brad Paisley's being one of them, and some others that are doing these drive-through concerts where they social distance the parking of the cars and keep the groups together in the small groups that way, almost like little pods, so they can watch the concert. And they're not letting they're not filling the whole parking lot up, and they're giving room that way. You know, if you're only going to have 20,000 fans there at the game, could you potentially do that? I just think you can't manage it, Jimmy, when you look at it further, because you're going to have people come to tailgate who don't have a ticket to the game, and you're going to spend all your time trying to police something that's pretty much impossible to police. So, you know, Ohio State announced this several weeks ago. I talked to some people at Tennessee after that. They firmly believe that that's where everything was going with the SEC and the rest of the teams out there. So I'm not surprised by it at all.
Chip Towers said that he thought it would be a uniformity percentage as far as stadium capacity, and he put the number at 20%, but then South Carolina said 25% roughly. Where are you with that? Do you think Neyland will be at 20 to 25% capacity this year?
Yeah, I mean, I think so. There's some hope for 30. I don't know how you do it from a uniform standpoint because everybody's dealing with their state government and their local, you know, health department, local government in there as well, and not everybody's going to be on the same page. So you're going to take the lowest common, you know, the lowest one there and say, hey, this is the blanket. Whereas, so maybe in one state they would have said you could have 40% or 35, and then somebody else says you can only have 20, so they're going to move 20 across the board. I don't think you can do that because I don't know how you do uniformity. Uniformity can come out and you can say no fans, you know, which I still think that's a real possibility in the NFL. I think that's why you're seeing some teams not announce anything on their attendance policy in the NFL right now, because, one, I think they're having some issues with their local governments on, you know, trying to figure out what that number is going to look like. And, B, I think everybody's kind of waiting to see if the NFL comes out and says something and makes a blanket deal. Remember, the NFL doesn't need the ticket money. It's been described as gravy money to the pot of profit that comes out of the NFL because there's so much banked on the TV money, on the TV side. So I think there's a chance the NFL may say no fans because, you know, Washington and Dallas are playing for a division, and Washington's got to go to Dallas and play in front of a bunch of fans, but Dallas comes to Washington and doesn't play in front of fans. The NFL might say, you know, a competitive advantage there. Hey, we don't have to have that ticket money, so we're just going to say no fans. Because I think Philadelphia's already come out and said they're not going to have any fans. Buffalo's already said they're not going to have any fans at games. So I can see the NFL going that direction. I don't know that college is going to go uniform with anything based on what we've seen so far.
Right, and Baylor is going to go 25%, so we'll see. That's Brent Hubbs of VolQuest.com. His appearance brought to you by Diversified Enclosures and Screens. From design to installation, they've got you covered. We're at the Food City and Fountain City, and we're only going to be about 30 or so minutes away from announcing the winner of the big ticket, so we look forward to that. With Vince Ferrar, I'm Jimmy Himes. Sports Talk 99.1, the Sports Animal.
We work all day under a neon Budweiser sign. Yeah, it's a really cool thing. From the Budweiser studios of Cumulus Broadcasting, we are Sports Radio WNML.
Welcome back to Sports Talk. I'm Jimmy Himes with Vince Ferrar. Brent Hubbs, VolQuest.com, our guest. His appearance brought to you by Diversified Enclosures and Screens as we come to you from the Food City in Fountain City.
Brent, Kirk Ferentz, earlier this week, a couple days ago, talked about the other conferences rating the Big Ten of their players and said it's a real problem for them. What do you think about that possibility of schools trying to lure kids away from the Big Ten and the Pac-12?
Well, I think it's a natural thing to happen because you've got kids, particularly juniors, who are wanting to show themselves for the NFL, who are looking for a place to play. A senior obviously doesn't want to miss out on his senior year. So I think those kids are naturally going to look around. Now, you know, there's been things have come out and said, you know, you're going to preserve your eligibility, all those types of deals that the NCAA has come out and said. Now, the school has to approve that. We learned that in the spring when Wisconsin said, hey, we're not going to honor the seniors in the spring sports. Okay, so every school has to handle that their own specific way. So we'll see how everybody does that because that's obviously a cost. There's a cost involved in that. The other issue with transfers, and I think we've talked about this before, if you're at the 85, you got problems, okay? Now, let's say you're under the 85, okay? Let's say LSU, for example, is a good bit under the 85. They've got room, okay? But they signed 25 in their previous class, okay? How are you going to count them? You got to count them. You got to count transfers and initials, okay? So are you willing to give up an initial for the class of 2021 for a season that you may or may not have? Now, would you for Justin Fields? Okay. But how many of those guys are there out there that you'll say, hey, I'm going to give up a scholarship for the next 4 years, okay, for the thought of a 10-game season in hopes that we get to play? There's no guarantee we're going to get to play. I think that raises a really interesting place to put coaches in roster management. Now, is the NCAA going to come out and say, hey, we're going to expand the 85 or we're going to adjust, you know, the number of initials for a year? Maybe. I mean, they're probably going to have to adjust the 85 if you're going to let everybody have another year of eligibility, right? So I think there's some unknowns right now which is why you haven't seen hundreds go in the portal. You haven't seen guys talking about where they're transferring to at this point, because I think both sides are trying to figure it out right now, player and potential places that those players might be interested in.
So what does the NCAA do with early enrollees if they play in the spring after they're already on campus?
Well, Jimmy Hines doesn't agree with me on this. When I said this a few weeks ago, too, I think you look long and hard at letting them play. I think you make them eligible. Particularly, you know, and a lot of schools in the high school ranks are going to be playing limited seasons. Junior college players aren't going to have a fall season, et cetera. So, and I think teams are going to be under the numbers because I think players will opt out in the spring because if they're under the draft, they're not going to play. If they think they're an NFL player as a junior or senior, I don't anticipate them playing. No matter how much they've come out and hashtagged, we want to play, the passion for college football. Passion changes in the springtime when you're getting ready for the combine. So I think there'll be a real push by the Big Ten and the Pac-12 if they have a spring season, to say, hey, midterm enrollees eligible immediately if we want to play them. We'll see how it rules. But that I certainly believe coaches are going to go that way, and I understand why they're feeling that way.
All right, I'm going to make my case. T. Hodge at Maryville plays 15 games at Maryville this season. Then he enrolls at Tennessee in mid-year, and then he's going to go out and play 8 or 10, 12 more games. We talked about how unsafe it is to play college football in the spring, then the fall. You're going to ask a high school kid to play 15 games, perhaps, in the fall, and then turn around and play 8 or 10 or 12 in the spring?
Well, again, I don't think every one of those kids would play.
Yeah, I don't either. But
I don't think all the midterm enrollees would play. But look, if you think you're a player away or you need this, I mentioned the Trevor Lawrence as an example a few weeks ago. Okay,
yeah.
If you've got a senior quarterback or a junior who's going to the league, and he says, hey, I'm not playing, and you're midterm enrollee, you realize in your late January fall camp, he's the best quarterback I got. You're gonna do everything you can to try to get him on the field and play. So I think there's some exceptions. You know, I don't think all of them would play, but I think you'll see coaches lobby hard for those guys to come in and be able to play immediately because they need bodies, and probably they're recruiting over some of the guys they're going to have to line up and play with in the spring because of some of the starters they've lost.
There is no junior college football. Is that correct? Is that what you're saying?
There may be a couple. I mean, there's not California. There's not in a couple of other associations. There may be a random deal here or there, but from what I understand, no, there's not going to be any junior college football.
See, if there's no junior college football in the fall and then they're a midtermer, I'm okay with them playing in college. But if they played a high school football season of up to 15 games, I am utterly opposed to them playing in college in the spring. Keyword, utterly. So.
Well, how many high school teams are really going to play 15 games? How many of those kids?
Alcoa.
If they play a full season. Okay.
Well, I said if.
We'll see if they get a whole season in. You know, half of those kids probably don't play the full games anyway. You know, I mean, I get it. I see the point you're making, Jimmy, with the health concerns, and I'm not saying that's not there, and I'm not saying that that's not something that should be taken into consideration. I'm just saying there's going to be a real push for those kids to play. There's going to be a real push for them to come in. Hey, you finish the season in Thanksgiving. And go play. Now, remember, all these Big Ten schools, they're not hitting each other, but they're going to work them 20 hours a week all fall long for 16, 18 weeks, give them a handful of weeks off, and then they're going to go play football too. Now, that's different than playing a game. I get it. But they're not letting those guys' bodies recover either. Think about the grind those guys are going to be on.
Yeah, but you said that's not like playing games during a season. So,
from a physical contact standpoint, you're exactly right.
But in a lot of those that 20-hour rule, from what I saw, was going to be a lot of walkthroughs. It would be limited contact, from what I saw.
Oh yeah, no, so. It's going to be. But they're going to be grinding in the weight room. It's going to be year-round training, like it always is.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, I can see where there is a real push for them to play, and there's a real consideration for those guys to play. Okay, I can see that being. Now, you're going to get into a huge debate. Are we about player safety? Are we not about player safety? All of those types of things are going to come into play. I get that 100%. 100%. You know, but some people are going to say, hey, that kid played his last high school football game Thanksgiving weekend. Why can't he play the first week of March?
Because I said
that's
he
four
can't.
Months. Why not? So, you know?
I don't so, like I it. Mean, yeah, I just
– Now, Jimmy, here's where I have a real concern with it, and this is why it may not happen, Jimmy. But it's the it, – I think with 4 months off, okay, if you're only going to play eight games in the spring, a handful of guys could do that, maybe, all right. But now you're talking about playing a fall season, a spring season, and come back playing another fall again. Now you got a real cumulative effect of playing a whole lot there, you know, in a short window. But I'm just telling you, there'll be kids wanting to play. There'll be kids saying it should be their choice. There'll be coaches saying it should be their choice whether to play. And there'll be a real hard push for some kids to get on the field and play. Running backs, wide receivers, quarterback, maybe that can help you. I don't think linemen are going to be ready anyway, but there'll absolutely be a push for that.
Brent, I would only go over for you, and we did. So we are way past our break time, but we do appreciate you joining us. Thank you for joining us. We look forward to talking to you again next week.
All right. Thanks, guys. Appreciate
Thanks, Brent. Brent Hubbs, VolQuest.com. His appearance brought to you by Diversified Enclosures and Screens. From design to installation, they got you covered.